world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Where do we begin? Where do we begin? That's what I love weekends, but I hate weekends. I mean, it's like every hour of every day, there's things that are popping up all around us. And then I come in here on Monday morning and think, oh my goodness, Lord, where do I stab first? Where do I stab first? And you know, you can say what you want to about Coach Dave. Like, yeah, I'm starting to feel a little bit better. Thanks. And Paul Goslin gave me some really good advice that maybe I'll pass on to you all later here regarding ivermectin and all that stuff. Where do we go from here? Where do we go? Hey, friends, are you looking at me? They're coming for us. I'm not trying to be paranoid. They're coming for us. Some guy flying MAGA flags on his truck goes and burns down a church. Somebody try to reconcile those two things if you can. Guy flying American flags. Now, is that a plant? Are they wanting it to look like MAGA is doing that? It doesn't matter, friend. They're coming after the Christians. In fact, they've been coming after the Christians for quite a while, really. I'm not trying to make you paranoid. I'm just telling you the truth. What do you think January 6th was all about? Who did they lock up? Did they lock up the Muslims? Did they lock up Antifa when Antifa burned down, was it Seattle? Did they go get them? When Antifa's out in the streets even right now burning and Trump sends in the National Guard and they start to scream and holler, why? Because look, folks, they're coming after the truth. They know their time is short and they're coming after the truth. Now, we're going to have to make a decision. All of us are going to have to make a decision for the sake of my 10 and a half. I think that's right, Michelle, 10 and a half grandbabies. Am I going to leave this to them? Am I going to continue to be part of a Christianity that just goes to church, sings worship songs, and goes on and hides from the enemy? Folks, you're going to have to make the decision because the truth is they are bringing the fight to us. They're bringing it to us. And when we're going to wake up and understand what's going on, yeah, we're all people of peace. I'm not calling for violence. I don't want any violence. What do you do when violence shows up at your door? What do you do? What do you do when violence shows up at the church down the street? What do you do? What do you do? Right? What do you do? And can somebody out there, anybody out there, come on, I'll just pause a minute and somebody tell me an offensive play that the church in general, American church in general, is running. That the American church is unified and say, we are going to win. We must win this battle, and we're going to win that battle. Can somebody tell what it is? Is it the gay agenda? Is it abortion? Is it homosexuality, transgenderism? Is it cheating in government? Is it illegal? What has the American church unified against? Remember this, John F. Kennedy told us. Well, John F. Kennedy just repeated what the book of Jude says. Spencer, real quickly, book of Jude. Jude's only one book, by the way. And by the way, I'll tell you this. Jude was the brother of Jesus. So much for ever Virgin Mary. Sorry. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. Come on. To them that are sacrificed, sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. By the way, is that a passive verb? How do you contend? Do you contend by sitting inside of a building and doing praise and worship? Is that contending for the faith? Wait a minute. Who are you contending against inside that church? Are all the people in the church and during praise and worship, are they the enemy? You're contending against them? I exhort you, you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Because why? Because certain men have crept in. Crept in where? They've crept into Christianity. And by the way, they were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Oh yeah, they've been waiting for their turn, and it's their turn now, they think. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our Lord into lascivious. Spencer, that'd be a good word. Most people don't do language in schools anymore, I don't think. What is lasciviousness? I know what it is, but I want you to trust but verify here. Lasciviousness, looseness, tendency to excite lust and promote irregular indulgences. I wonder what irregular indulgences might be. But Jude warns us that evil men crept in unaware. And that's what they're going to teach to you. I'm okay, you're okay. No, it's all grace, it's all mercy, it's all, who are you to judge? Turning the grace of our God into doing whatever you want to, because God's going to forgive you. And when they do that, they deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's going on. Evil men have crept in. And where? Well, it's generational. Psalm 78, quickly. I'm not cherry picking. Psalm 78, folks are coming to our churches. They're coming to our churches. They're burning down our churches. Give ear, O my people, to my law, and incline your ears to the words of my mouth, and I'm going to open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers told us. Talking about Christianity, I think. And we're not going to hide it from our children. We're not going to put our kids in school and not let Christianity be in it. We're not going to do that. Heavenly, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to put our kids in school and pay for the schools and let them teach transgenderism, homosexuals. Oh, no, we're not going to do that. Are we? Or we're going to hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. And we're letting them tread all over the gospel with the approval of those of us who call ourselves Christians. And so we have peacetime pastors right now, peacetime pastors. I've used this illustration many times. John Cooper, former football coach at High State University, talking about the aggressiveness in a football player, said, if they don't bite his puppies, they don't bite his dogs. In other words, it's the nature that you have doesn't change. And a lot of men who went into the pulpit, they went in because they loved people. That's good. They loved people. And they just wanted to love on people. Well, I got a good question for you. I love all my grandkids. I love all of them. And I'm going to keep them from being injured. I'm not going to repair them after they're hurt. So the greatest form of love would be, the greater love is no man than this, if you lay down his life for his friends. You would get out in front of the enemy to protect those that you love. Is the church doing that? Is the church even visible in any aspect of your community other than maybe a church out on the street, repent, hold inside? Really? You mean to tell me that all of Christendom can't end murder of babies? We can't end it? What's going on? I know what it is. I know what it is. Evil men crept in unaware, changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature. My body, my choice. My body, my choice. What's right for you may not be right for me. That's worshiping and serving the creature rather than the creator. That's what's going on. Try to find in your neighborhood, in your town, one publicly active governmental political pastor, just one, and his congregation. Right here in Hebron, little downtown Hebron, there is a church that Every once in a while, I drive by down there, and they have ladies out on the street holding signs. Two of them, two ladies holding the signs. So I might assume that they're the only two Christian ladies in Hebron, or are the rest of we Christians driving by and thinking, boy, those people are crazy. Those ladies are crazy. No, those ladies are holding up the gospel publicly while they've infiltrated your public school with demonic instruction. And you don't care. Church doesn't care. Pastor goes and prays at the football game. Band sounds good. Everybody looks good. Oh, it's all good. Except up here we wake up and Charlie Kirk is the freak. Charlie's the freak. Oh, I got so much to give you today. Somebody encouraging me say, you're right on, coach. I just want one. Every once in a while, we need a pat on the back because I'm all over it, man. Just one. Charlie, thanks, Beth. Boom. That's it. Yeah. Hey, so Spencer, pull up. I hate to keep coming back to Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk. God bless Charlie Kirk. There ought to be a million Charlie Kirks. It's ought to be going on in every. Why won't the church impact their local schools? Hey, look, are you looking at me? I don't want to just gripe. I'm trying to organize a movement. Huh? That's why they killed Charlie, you know. Not that Charlie was speaking out, but people were listening. Huh? Government doesn't like competition. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places. And what's the prize? Souls of men. Is the church engaged at all in the souls of men? And if your only response is, you got to tell somebody, oh, you got to come to my church and hear my pastor. Really? Really? That'd be like coming to, I'm coaching a football game, and you come to the football game, and you say, oh, you got to watch our coach play. Well, I don't play. You mean come and watch me play? I train others to play. And so, where are they? Hey, pastor, where are they? Where are your players? Where's your quarterback and your tight end and your wide receiver and your inside linebacker and your safeties? And where are they, pastor? Where are they? Oh, you're the guy. You're the drum major. You have to do everything. Pastors, I'm trying to help you. I'm not being, I'm trying to help you, man. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you. My grandkids are counting on you, pastor. You say, well, Coach Dave, I'm not your pastor. Well, I know you're not. Are there anybody in your church? Are you pastoring any children in your church? And you don't mind that sitting in your church might be some girls who are learning premarital sex, which will end up in pregnancy, which will end up in an abortion, and you're not talking about it? You're not talking about that? You're not teaching morality from the pulpit? This is better than you guys are amening out there. I haven't given you a chance. This consumes me. This consumes me. Yeah? Why? I got 10 and a half grandbabies. Maggie's going to pop out number 11 here in probably the next month or so here. Pop out number 11. Psalm 78, and they're going to live in a society and a culture tonight. You mean to tell me, I'm going to take those precious little children and put them in a government school where I know what the doctrine is. Now, hang on. You say, well, coach, we homeschool. Good. Do you pay for it? Do you pay for the public schools? Because where I come from, they call that an accessory to the crime. You say, well, I have to pay my taxes, coach, so put me in jail. All right. Let them throw you in jail and take everything you have. Don't risk the soul of your grandchildren for fear of what you might lose. We have it backwards. We're supposed to lay down our lives for the next generation. I'm okay, you're okay. That's what Oprah told us. Who are you to judge? That's what the lefties tell us. And we don't. We don't judge. Can I tell you something? I judge. I judge every day when I get up. Said, coach, you're getting fatter. I judge every day. Said, coach, you need a shave. I judge every day. My wife gets up in the morning. She comes walking out. I've been up about an hour. She comes walking out. And I always look, boy, she's beautiful. I judge every day. Every minute of every day. And then the modern American church has told you not to judge. It's just sickness. Do you ever say to your children, what were you thinking? Meaning, can't you judge? What were you thinking? You mean to tell me you thought you could go to the party and drink a few beers, even though you're not old enough, and get away with it? What were you thinking? That's a bad decision. Oh, Dad, don't be judgmental. That's where we are in our culture. Okay, so look. Go ahead, Mel. I was with Mel last night and her husband. We had a great time. Appreciate the food, Mel. Appreciate all that. And appreciate what we did, although I'm not going to breathe much about it. Go ahead, Mel.
You're always welcome, Coach. Hey, you were talking about peacetime pastors, and I just think that's the biggest mind trick, right? Because, you know, we think that we're at peace, but the enemy's been at war with us since the very beginning.
Amen. Well, peace, and there is no peace, right?
Isn't that the mind trick? Like, you get your enemy comfortable and feeling good, and mm-hmm. then while the enemy just tromps all over you, and you think you're at peace.
You think that's right. But there is no peace. People cry peace, peace, and there is no peace. Folks, there can never be peace without the peacemaker. By the way, you do know this, don't you? There's a difference between a peacemaker and a peacekeeper. And doesn't it say in Matthew, where is it? Blessed are the peacemakers. Isn't that what it says? Peacemaker is an active verb. A peacekeeper is a passive. If you're a peacekeeper, Matthew 5, that's what I thought it was. If you're a peacekeeper, you don't make any waves. Don't make any waves. Matthew 5, verse 9. Don't miss this. Spencer's working hard at it. Excuse me. Blessed are the peacemakers. Follow this. If you're a peacemaker, they're going to call you a child of God. Why? Because peacemaking has to do with conflict. And notice this, peacemakers. After he says, blessed are the peacemakers, he goes right on and says, blessed are those which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You understand it? You make the connection? You be a peacemaker, and you're going to be persecuted, baby. For such, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Notice this. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you, say, I'm going to be evil against you falsely for my sake. You see it? You want to get blessed? Go out there and make them revile you and persecute you. Rejoice, be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. That's the way they persecuted the prophets before you did. You're the salt of the earth. You lose your savor. How can it be salted again? It's no good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Would you guys think that the American church is being trodden under the foot of men in America? Raise your hand if you think so.
Hey, man.
Huh? There it is. Good for nothing. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. What do you mean? They have criminalized Christianity. Huh? Not only do they criminalize it, they make you pay for it. Oh, I'll catch my breath. Play Charlie Kirk says one offense. Play that real quick. I got so much to give. I got so much. Been all weekend, right? Been all weekend. Build up in me. You have that Spencer Charlie play says play offense. I think I sent it to you. I have a new computer and I'm having kind of trouble navigating my way around it. Charlie, I hate to keep bringing up Charlie Kirk. I hate to keep bringing him up, but he's so daggone right. Now, of course, we're seeing they're doing everything they can to try to destroy Charlie's work, calling him a Mason, calling him a lot of, it's amazing. And we're not smart enough to see the enemy. Go ahead, please. Charlie's going to talk to us about being on offense.
Getting through a moment where this is the most consequential historical climax, like since the American Civil War. That's not BS. That's not spin. Yeah, this is 1776 Tea Party. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and it's, so it's like, it's a question, right? I have no idea if we're going to win or not. You have a thought?
Why don't we go on the offense?
We're trying, man. So that's a good question.
I like what you're the only one that I see.
Well, thank you. And I'm not the only one. But let me tell you why. By the grace of God, I am not in federal prison. By the grace of God, I'm not indicted. That's not a joke. That's what these people do, okay? Well, look, you're right. And I pray for me every day and pray, and you should, because there's only a few of us that actually play offense. James O'Keefe plays offense.
Yes. Yes.
But what happened to him? They removed him from his organization. He's under criminal investigation by the FBI and the Westchester DA. Steve Bannon plays offense. He's going to go to federal prison next month. Tucker Carlson plays offense. They took him off air. Any player that plays, Donald Trump plays offense. He's facing 600 years in federal prison. That's why we don't play offense. How about this? We have 16 literally amazing senior citizens that have done such good for our country in Michigan that are facing the rest of their life in prison because they signed a document to become an alternate elector. To become an alternate elector. Most people don't even know about this story. This story was buried. I'm going to talk about this tonight. These are 16 senior citizens. I'll tell you about Rose Rook, 81 years old, from Paw Paw, Michigan. She signed a piece of paper to become an alternate elector, her constitutional right with historical precedent. She's facing 120 years in federal prison. 81 years old, she has $30,000 to her name, and her husband died 10 years ago. And the Michigan AG is trying to show her as a domestic terrorist. She can't defend herself. The whole weight of the world is, the cruelty is the point. We are dealing with savages. This is not normal. This is ultra revolution time. Like, they are eating the country from within. The problem is they preempt us against offense, but that is not an excuse. We all have to play offense. We have to take the initiative. But here's the thing. We are not good offensive players. I'll prove it to you.
That's absolutely
because true. Conservatives definitionally are defensive. We are conserving against their offense, right? So, like, by our temperament is to build businesses and churches and be agreeable. Our temperament, we don't think like revolutionaries. Well, we got to change that. I know, but
it's not enough.
My next book is literally called Right Wing Revolution. Like, I'm trying to make people think in a way where we're trying to stop their refounding of America. Here's the good news. If you want, like, the good news of all this, the founders have given us this unbelievable opportunity. The fact that we still have some semblance of a constitution gives us hope. Like, if we did not have the founders, God bless them. Like, just, I'll give you an example, the Electoral College. If it was not for the Electoral College, this is game, set, match, we're done. Now we have a chance, right? A collection of states. It's still going to be very hard, right? But there's still hope, is what I'm saying. There's a roadmap. The founders saw this. They were like, we're going to make it really hard, not impossible, really hard to destroy this place, right? They put so many checks and balances in that think about how much we've survived, right? The fact that we still have fight, and honestly, it's a gift from Madison, Hamilton, and Jay of how they saw this, right? Like that, I tell people, the North Star is our founding fathers. The North Star is our own documents. The North Star is the Declaration of the Constitution. Like, that's what we're trying to get back to. We're trying to defend that. I want to win. No, but I want to win. But why do you think we will win?
I believe in the spirit of the human, just the humanness, so that we will step up when we have to step up.
So this is so interesting. I totally disagree because, and let me tell you, I got in a debate with an atheist. So it ties to this. Like, he said, okay, Charlie, I can't believe in God after the Holocaust. And I said, I can't believe in humanity after the Holocaust. I said, I still believe in God. I've lost all faith in humans. So I want you to think about that, right? I have zero faith in humanity.
Well, look what humans did to Christ.
Yes, they didn't stop Mao. They didn't stop Hitler. They didn't stop Mussolini. They didn't stop. I'm not saying, you might be right. I am too, but I don't do hopium, right? I don't do hope and opium feels good. It's really bad for you. I'm right in the middle. I'm like, this, we could win triumphantly, or this could get really bad. And I'm just being honest. Like, I don't think what I'm getting at, and I'm not trying to, I'm just having fun, right? I don't think our victory is inevitable. I don't.
We'll have to work for it.
Yeah, and rededicate everything. And by the way, that last paragraph of the Declaration, I think, just rings in our soul. Our lives, our fortune, and our sacred honor, that's everything. Right? And we are not at a place where Americans are willing to do that. Right?
Yes, we are.
No, we're not. Well, you are, but it takes 3-5%. If you get to 3-5%, you can save the country. So that's the good question, right? Are we there? I'm not being pessimistic. I'm being real, right?
But what's the method?
What is this?
That's what's missing. I watch shows and books, and what's the
action? Well, all of the above. You have to, first and foremost, politics is a vector, right? California is in a different spot. I'll be honest. The all-out, like, weak-kneed, spineless red states You would, if you came in and you did not know the composition of this country, you would think Democrats control like every governor's mansion, every AG. What is the method? The method is Oklahoma, Kansas, South Dakota, South Carolina, Arkansas start acting the way the blue states act. I've said this publicly, I'll say it again. We need Republican AGs indicting every major Democrat across the board. We need DAs starting to indict. That's not going to happen because they don't want it bad enough. They're a bunch of Mike Pences. This is what gives me hope, though. What gives me hope is that the actual rank and file of the Republican base is like on fire, energized. Like, I can't stay ahead of my audience. Like, I do this for 3 hours a day, and they're better researched than I am. And I do this for like 18 hours. Like, they're sending me articles of like WHO treaties and like, did you know about like him repealing, Obama repealing the propaganda? It is the most informed audience I've ever dealt with. That's like a massive shot in the arm of optimism, right? That shows that good things are happening. What drives me nuts, and we got to change it, is our leaders are so disconnected from the voters. And California is its own thing. Let's just talk about the 10 reddest states in the country, right? South and North Dakota, Kansas, Oklahoma, forget Texas, like Arkansas, Alabama, Mississippi. Like, we should be waging all-out war against the left on these states. And we're not. Like, we're kind of like, well, I hope it gets better.
All right, cool. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to play that long a clip, except it's just, it's all amen. And see, the only counteraction to all of this wickedness is good. The whole creation groaning, waiting for God's people to show up, and our pulpits won't talk about it. Why? Because they didn't bite us when they were puppies. They came into America at a time when everything was peace, everything was expanding. Nobody knew where the homosexual agenda was going to go. Nobody. Could you guys, come on. Can any of you watching out there imagine what your mom and dad would have done if they tried to talk about homosexuality in the schools in 1970? Can any of you out there even imagine what that would have been like? And here we are. Here we are. And nobody will bark. Nobody will say anything. We don't make it. We don't get mixed politics. I know I'm saying the same thing over and over. I hear you, sweetheart. Same thing over and over and over and over and over. Where are our pastors? Where are our Christian leadership? Oh, I know. I know. See, people bitch about Donald Trump being president. Well, who else is there? Who else? Mike Pence? Who? Because why? Because Christians won't get engaged. They don't want to do it because they've been taught that worse is better. Man, the worse it gets, we'll be out of here. I got 10 and a half grandchildren. What if it goes on another 30 years? Are my grandkids going to pay the price? Oh, I got a big bank account. I'm doing cool in my retirement. Oh, my God. God help us. Come on in, Paul.
Yeah. Coach, you know that scripture we were talking about earlier about the sons of God? Well, that means that people have to be act like the sons and daughters of God.
Well, that means that's us, right?
Well, Christians. We got a lot of Christians and we got a lot of believers, but you're truly to be the sons of God. And that's what the world is waiting for. Not just that's believers or Christians, but the true
Paul,
sons of God.
So. Paul, is that going on in our churches? Are our pastors raising up an opposition? When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Where is that? Somebody Google that for me, Spencer. When the enemy comes in like a flood, comes in where? Comes in where? How about when the enemy comes into America? How about when the enemy comes into the American government? Huh? Isaiah what? Oh, that's Old Testament. I get it. Huh? When the enemy comes in like a flood. So the
hey,
fear,
Coach.
So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. And when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Folks, it's the church that's supposed to oppose all this wickedness. And they told you that they're not going to get involved with politics. We don't mix religion and politics here. I'm sorry. You got to remember this. I didn't have a show for 2 days. This stuff just builds up inside of me. And this is the release valve. And can somebody out there? Is there a pastor out there? Can come in and tell me I'm wrong. Somebody come in and tell me I'm wrong. that if we're supposed to be the salt of the earth, what does that look like? What does that look like? And we think, see, I hate to tell you this, Donald Trump got elected because the people in the country know we need something radical. And they know, sorry, that probably ain't going to happen with a Christian man in charge. Because a Christian man can be soft, easy to roll over, doesn't fight back, doesn't judge. And all of you out there, my Bible says this, Spencer, I don't know if you can find this one or not. But the Lord raises up kings. It's God that raises up kings. And whether you want to admit it or not, God gave us Donald Trump. And I'm sorry, he's not Christian enough for us. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth presidents and he setteth up presidents. Who does? Oh, yeah. And he gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. So grab and moan all you want to about Trump. Is, you know, Trump this, Trump that, Trump them. Trump. Well, God raised him up. Sorry, God raised him up. Good, folks, I'm on a ramble here. It's been 31 minutes. I'd like to hear from him. Come on in, Paul.
Good morning, Coach. There is good in all this. I do believe the truth's coming out. And, you know, my lawyer from New York, Manhattan, a new guy, he's pretty excited about it, right? Yeah. He's doing a class action lawsuit with his J6ers that he was defending. You know, that's a good group. And he sounded excited. Is he a good, perfect Christian? Hell no. But you know what? He's much closer than most people that I know.
Hey, Paul, right? am I a good Christian? What does that even mean to be a good Christian, folks?
Just stay in the fight. You just keep trying, Coach. That's all it is. That's what saints are.
Paul, we're not willing to fight for what we believe. We're not willing to fight.
Not willing to die for it, right?
Yeah, I'm willing to die for it. To die for what you believe. Oh, my goodness.
I just wanted to make it quick.
Thanks. That's amen. Amen. Pull up a Christian massacre across Babylon and Earth, Spencer. I got this from Bobby Lee this morning. I got some more good stuff. If you guys aren't going to come in, then I'll just keep playing stuff. Spencer, go and pull that up in there. Christian massacre across Babylon Earth. It's 4 minutes and 50 seconds. Folks, this is happening all around us. All around us, this is happening. Go ahead.
The idea that you could turn the clock back and try to recreate a world that never was, dominated by, you know, let's say it, white men of a certain persuasion, a certain religion, a certain point of view, a certain ideology, is just doing such damage to what we should be aiming for. And we were on the path toward that.
This is the next step forward. They made Charlie Kirk a martyr to justify this type of behavior. They're blaming everything in America on the radical left lunatics. So here's what we're going to do. I want you to answer this call to action. We need to mobilize veterans nationwide to organize in our community.
A Sunday morning service turning to horror when police say a man armed with an assault rifle opened fire inside a church in Grand Blanc Township, Michigan.
We have an active shooter at the church.
I need manpower up here ASAP. I have people trapped in the building. Repeat, people trapped in the building.
We got children inside too.
That frantic 911 call alerting police to an active shooter at the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, about 55 miles northwest of Detroit.
It's a very sad day. America's gone insane. 2 days in a row, military veterans, one in a boat opens up on an outdoor fish restaurant in North Carolina. Today, a Mormon church, Iraq war vet, pickup truck, flags, burns a Mormon church and sets it on, shoots people in the church? How much more can any of us take?
In the United States, attacks on Christians and Christian institutions have surged, with the Family Research Council documenting 485 hostile incidents against churches, 143% increase from 2022, including vandalism, arson, and physical assaults. The FBI's 2023 hate crime statistics reported 1,158 anti-Christian incidents, a 37% rise from the previous year, with assaults and harassment harassment targeting worshipers.
The fact that this issue has not gotten on people's radar.
Right, no one's talking about it.
It's pretty amazing. If you don't know what's going on in Nigeria, your media sources suck. You are in a bubble. And again, I'm not a Christian, but they are systematically killing the Christians in Nigeria. They've killed over 100,000 since 2009. They've burned 18,000 churches. This is so much more. These are their Islamists, Boko Haram. This is so much more of a genocide attempt than what is going on in Gaza. They are literally attempting to wipe out the Christian population of an entire country. Where are the kids protesting this?
Near total media blackout has obscured the mass murder of Christians overseas, with mainstream outlets like CNN and BBC largely ignoring the systematic genocide unfolding in regions like the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Nigeria, Syria, and Burkina Faso. These incidents contributed to 40,000 Christian deaths from 2021 to 2025.
It is targeted and is a systemic plan to wipe out the Christians in this country.
In recent years, Christians in Europe have faced a disturbing escalation in targeted attacks and hate crimes. France emerged as the epicenter, accounting for nearly 1,000 cases, roughly 41% of the European total, predominantly vandalism and arson against churches and cemeteries. Arson surging over 30% in 2024. In the United Kingdom, incidents climbed above 700, while Germany reported a 105% rise to 277 crimes, underscoring a broader trend of intolerance amid rising secularism and cultural tensions that has left at least 2,000 Christian places of worship damaged continent-wide.
We must fight fire with fire.
If you want a Democrat that's going to call people Nazis or fascists or all these kinds of things, well, I'm not going to be that guy. You know, independent thinking and views wherever that I happen to believe the truth.
You see fire sort of as far as the eye can see, a landscape ablaze. That's where the Christians used to live. They probably won't be there for that much longer. Clip number two, we can go right into that. This is, again, the Christian population in Syria has been decimated. It used to be 3 million before we got involved.
This growing hostility, coupled with cultural shifts marginalizing religious expression, is awakening an old battleground that has plagued civilization throughout history. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Wow. What do you hear about? George Floyd, racist. Right. Come on, folks. It's happening right in front of us. We won't see it.
Can you put that in the chat, please?
Yeah, put it in the chat. Because why? Why? Well, you tell me why. Why are they after us? Play this one. Let's see. I hate to keep playing Charlie Kirk. Play number three. Oh, I got to get after that, Spencer. Get number five at the bottom there. Ready? Go play this one. Charlie Kirk again. Encourage. Sorry, man.
The most attacked organization in America. I'm not saying this stuff to have you make me feel bad for me. We're used to the death threats. We're used to the life alterations. In fact, I love it. Because if you are not currently under attack, I don't think you're doing anything meaningful against the enemy. Right now is the time for action, everybody. It is generations of sacrifice that were the recipients of this beautiful republic. You know, the biggest thing I'm trying to do more than anything else is I'm trying to get more people to independently act with courage and boldness against this totalitarianism that is setting into our country. The number one thing people can do is be a truth teller. It is the greatest way to fight evil. And I'm going to be 100% honest, like I always am. The other side wants it more than us right now. They're giving more money. They're more active. We have two things they don't have. We have the truth, and we do outnumber them. I think the die has yet to be cast on this particular moment. It could go either way. It could go the way where there is a revival and an awakening and a grit and an endurance and a stamina of people that refuse to break, that get tougher the more that we get thrown at, or it could go the other way. where we weaken and resolve and we fight amongst ourselves and we get cynical and apathetic and nihilistic and the bad guys steamroll us. Both are conceivable. And I will dedicate, as long as I have breath in these lungs, every single day to fight for liberty and for freedom against these bad guys. I implore you to try to do the same, because look, here's the one thing I know, and I fight these people every single day, and they're not good people. They want us dead, but they fear us. I know this. They fear us more than anything else. They fear that if we actually get our act together, we have an attitude where we're going to stay in the game of stamina, of endurance, of a long-term vision, and they can't invoke our surrender, then we're going to win.
Yeah, for sure.
That's it.
But I mean,
all most attack.
Pull up Lyle Ripacki here. Pull him up. Huh. This is just kind of information today. Is that what I sent you? That's not what I sent you. I'm sorry. That's all right, buddy. Spencer's that. Give me a second. Huh? America's remnant is being built. I don't know Lyle very well, but I consider him a friend. Okay? I consider him a friend. And so he writes on September 23rd, the assassination of Charlie Kirk, the battles being fought domestically as well as internationally, the dark dividing statements and political differences espoused are not merely in the physical realm, but stem from the diabolical darkness that feeds the hatred and division being built. This darkness and hatred, the deliberate rhetoric causing division. Listen, have you listened to Nancy Pelosi and what they're saying? The deliberate rhetoric causing division and strife for finding resting places deep within hosts and then flowing to create hurt and further division, to bring deliberate pain and suffering, fear and intimidation. Folks, these people are of their father, the devil. Do you understand that? Do we really understand that? See, there ain't no middle ground. You can't sort of serve Jesus and sort of fight them. No. You got to be all in, man. You got to be all in. Hmm? Yeah. The Lord's creating a remnant. Clearly demonstrating to all of us who have eyes to see and ears to hear, the division between good and evil. Light, the Lord's doing this, folks, light and darkness. Charlie Kirk was one tip of the spear purposefully employed by the Lord. Charlie willingly accepted such an assignment and did not look back. Charlie willingly said, "Here I am, send me." But anybody out there say that today? I'll say, "Lord, here I am, send me. Wherever it is that you want me to go, whatever it is you want me to say, I'll go say it. I'll go do it." Okay? Scroll on down, Spence. Our nation has separated itself from the founding, the very principles that made America unique. Not perfect, but exceptional. He's got a book, Our Fathers, okay? Blah, 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 blah. Please do the blah, blah. Psalm, why do the nations rage and the heathen imagine a vain thing? We read Psalm 2 all the time here, don't we? Daniel says he changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and disposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. Hey, folks, if you don't like Donald Trump, be mad at God. He's the one that raised him up. Our election process does not reflect God's involvement. Are all the people elected godly? Of course not. The hearts of God's people are not turned fully toward him. Folks, people, Christians, don't vote righteously. They vote for economics. Sorry, our political leaders for the most part reflect the people's hearts and not God's. We're in the final stages leading to Jesus' arrival in the world as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, where all authority and all government and all rulers shall bow and acknowledge him as such. So how are we to navigate in this time of increasing turmoil and unprecedented trouble? This is one question we need to begin honestly to ask ourselves. What am I supposed to do here, Lord? Politicians, political parties are not the fundamental cause of the challenges we face. Growing frustrations will occur if you continue to believe that the political parties are the answer. The real resolutions to the assaults of this day and those still to come rest in the fact that we as people have knelt at the altar of government far too long, and the church has been too silent in addressing this deception. The church at large has simply believed that someone would step forward, be elected, and fix all the problems.
Amen.
We're no longer taught to walk in the knowledge of holding the power of God in high esteem and to submit and cooperate with such knowledge, and much less walk in humility, trust of such knowledge. We're undergoing a dramatic change. We have witnessed tremendous fear, unprecedented intrusion of government into our corporate, public, personal lives. But that's because the devil is an aggressor, folks. and it has occurred with increased harm, including the dictation of how we were to act as a family. Only so many allowed in your home at any given time. Our society became more accepting of such harsh governmental intrusion than ever before, redefining what it is a family. They redefined what a family is. And our values and principles have been reshuffled away from the historic constitutional Christian values. Our educational system slipped into a manner of personal alteration of children. They are teaching your children things you don't even believe. Young children. Folks, come on. You send them to Sunday school on Sunday, maybe they'll get an hour of Noah's Ark. Our education system slipped into a manner of personal alteration of children we've never known before. And our historic lack of involvement with our children's development made it so we had no clue as to what spoon was fed to them. We don't have any idea what they're learning. 7 hours a day in the public schools, you have no idea what they're learning, what their teachers are telling them, what the curriculum is. Why? Separates between church and state, right? Church isn't allowed to get in there. We surrendered our schools to the spirit of an antichrist long ago. Not just during these last few years. No longer is freedom of speech viewed sacred. Rather, we have been reduced to thought quarantine. You know, some speech you're not allowed to say. Excuse me. Folks, we've lost our fear of God, our reverence and respect for him. People instead are yielding to new social norms with no basis in Christianity. Folks, I got to start saying this. Folks, stop using Judeo-Christianity. Judaism does not believe in Jesus Christ. Sorry. With no basis in Christian principles as our nation was founded and intended to live by. But the Lord Adonai is bringing forth the remnant. The more our society separates godhood from statehood, the more authoritarian our society will become. Get that, folks? They remove God, then government gets to be in charge. There's a true spiritual conflict raging over our nation in the air, across our country, down to many, many villages and towns. The remnant, the called out, know this instinctively. And know not to allow those who have rejected God's ways and authority to govern our lives. Vinny, somebody out there say amen. I'm going to read that again. The remnant, the called out one, know this instinctively and know not to allow those who have rejected God's ways and authority to govern our lives.
Amen.
I'm not simply saying political governance, but authority over our personal lives, our morals, our thoughts, our character, and the ways to teach children so they may grow in reverence and trust in the Lord and not depart from this as they mature. Remnant are to pray for leaders that will serve in a godly manner, not in a man-made manner. Folks, a remnant is being formed and already has begun across America. Are you called out? Are you sensing you are to move into the remnant with others who've come to the conclusion? America is not at all what was founded and intended to be. And I would say this, if you're part of this group here, you're part of the remnant. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Come on in, Jeb.
Hey, Coach. Everything's spot on. I think mentioning this to people so they're educated and understanding what's happening. Until the accountability comes, until we get into these arrests, and a different group takes over because the judicial system has been corrupt. So we're almost throwing tomatoes at the problem and people aren't doing anything about it because the system's broken. For as long as Donald Trump keeps telling people, hey, the people have to take over. If people want to see what's happened, they're transferring the power to the people. What do I mean by that? There's a system in play, a weaponized system. If people don't go back and understand history, the Knights Templar, what were they doing? What was Charlie doing? What was Charlie's wife doing? I know this is going to step on some toes, but we got to go through the mental exercise to think. The brain has to think outside of what.
Hey, Judah, a pastor won't even stand up against abortion.
Exactly.
They won't even stand up against homosexuality without getting into the deepness of the Masons and all the occult. The stuff right in front of them, they won't do.
But we do. And that's the point. The thinking mental exercise, they're stoking a new war. If people don't see it, it's left versus right.
They don't see it.
And what we do is we do see it. And so we got to understand, you know, this whole aspect. Charlie's wife, she went to Regis University. That is a Jesuit university. Her parents, her mom worked for a defense contractor that was building the Beast system. Her dad worked for Raytheon with Dick Cheney. You guys, we have to understand and break down, what are they creating here? They're stoking a war. The Freemasons were putting a war together. You got to go back and understand what Albert Pike was doing.
Judd, I get all that.
True.
You're dragging us into the weeds. We can't get people to end abortion. We can't get people to end abortion.
No.
I get it. I get there's a devil. I get the Masons. I get all that stuff. What the hell's stopping us from doing something about it?
That's not. We are doing something.
I get caught up in worrying about the Masons. I believe they're real. I believe it's real.
And so
what am I going to do about the Masons? I want to end abortion. I want prayer back in our school. I want Christ back in our school.
Keep yelling.
Wake up, people. That's where
the point is, we have to educate them on what their plan is.
What are they doing
before you right now? They're baiting you. They're baiting you to create a world war here in the United States, to create division. As Christians, we have to understand it and see it and not fall into their black magic. So right now they've created this hero warrior that was funded by the deep state. His name is Charlie Kirk.
Yes.
On purpose to mislead you to fight into this war. It's called baiting. General Flynn wrote an entire book on it called Fifth Generation Warfare. This is duplicated of what they did in Rome, what they did in Europe. They're doing
exactly.
It here. How does it stop? It stops when Christians start saying, hey, the solution is the government. Charlie's whole message was Republican government. We're getting rid of the Mason system. That's why Donald Trump, when he brought him up, her wife up on stage, he said, Charlie was a master builder. He is identifying the problem of Freemasonry. We as Christians need to call out the Freemasonry in churches, identify the problem, solve the problem, and remove the problem. Start a new church of we the people in your homes, in your schools.
Okay, Gene, we understand it's a coach's show, not yours.
I thought that's
the Freemason school system. He gave you an opt-out. He said, homeschool your children, and I'll give you funding to do it. We are breaking the system.
So, Judd, why aren't the churches advancing legislation for homeschooling parents?
Because they're controlled by the Freemason groups of Family Research Council. Mitch McConnell is the one who owns it and funds it.
I get it.
The first of the government. It's called government school. It's called government church. Coach, you're spot on. We're getting rid of the government church.
That's what I'm saying. And there isn't a whole lot I can do about the Freemasons. I mean, I get it. I get what you're saying. I see them. I know what they're doing. I understand their influence. But if I go chasing that one, folks, just stand up and demand. How about we just stand the church? Just stand up and demand that the church just be Christian, just be moral, just that. Stop teaching abortion and homosex. Stop teaching that to our kids. The church can't even do that. The churches in your town, pastors in your town, can't get together and say, not in our school. Randy.
Coach, I feel your frustration. I felt it for many years. Yeah. But, you know, and Yeah, I wonder when it's going to happen, Coach. I'm still there with you. But here's where God took me, Coach. This is where I think we all must come. Okay? We want action, but someone else, you know. We want change, but someone else. I decided, Coach, look, I love you. I love all the people here, but I decided I took personal responsibility, okay? My fight isn't with the difference of opinion here with each other. I see all the chat going on now and the division and the frustration, Coach. And it's a spiritual attack here today, right now, Coach. This is right here in our chat. So what I do, Coach, and I'm not saying I figured it all out, but let me just say what I do, and then people can choose and do whatever you can still choose. But I take authority over demonic spirits. I take care of things first spiritually with me, with my mind, and because God showed me how to do this and not get caught up and quit. Because when you get frustrated, Coach, everyone, I'm talking to everyone here, you just lose heart, you stop fighting and you quit, or you just become radical on the other extreme. So look, there is a balance in this, Coach. There is a balance. I get up every day. You get up every day. We put on our fighting clothes. But I still love people. I have to balance out love and opposition and offensiveness with that. So, Coach, you speak the very things we need to do, but then now we have to do them, Coach. So Amen. That is the key here, is to keep unity. You have to fight against demonic influence. And we all have that in our circle, every one of us. So I think the thing we need to do, Coach, let me just pray a prayer, and then you can move on. I know we're about out of time. I'll make this real short, Coach. But let me just take authority here, if you'll let me, for just a second.
Yeah.
Okay, Father, you're the king. This is your kingdom. It isn't ours. We're in it because you're the king. We're the subjects. And I pray, Father, over everyone in this that's listening, everyone that has their opinions, let us take everything into the obedience of Christ, everything. And let us see what's righteous, and then let us see what's unrighteous. And let us put all these in order, Father God, so that we know what we're fighting for, that what we understand is your will, and some of the things we're fighting for that isn't. And God, give us peace. Let the Holy Spirit flow. In Jesus' name, I let the Holy Spirit, righteousness, peace, and joy flow in this, in our meeting right here this morning. Let it flow in our hearts today, Father God. I bind every demonic spirit. You have no right here. You have no place here. And Amen. I speak this in Jesus' name, Coach. Amen.
Go ahead. Amen, Randy. Amen. Amen. So we know we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Oh, Amen.
This is so simple. Look, I was a football coach. I'm going to try to make an illustration. Let's say I'm coaching the Ohio State Buckeyes and they're playing Michigan. I'm going to see what Michigan does, and then I'm going to run plays to counter it. And sometimes Michigan runs the Freemason play. And sometimes they run the homosexual play. And sometimes they run the evolution play. Well, I can't be ignorant of their plays. And every one of those plays that we're talking about here, it's just a play. It's another form of the devil. It's just another form of the devil. And once we learn to stop the homosexual play, well, this other play is going to, they're going to keep running this other play. And so we have to understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's the seed of the serpent, the devil, and the seed of the woman. And what's happened, whether it be Masons, whether it be homosexuality, whether it be feminism, I don't care what it is, they have infiltrated into the church. The Bible says evil men have crept in unaware, changed the truth of God into a lie. Are there Masons in the church? Well, hell yes, there are. Are there Masons running many of the churches? Hell yes, they are, right? But if we focus just on that, they got another play they're running. And ultimately, we have to understand our play. And our play is what? To have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. That we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And hiding inside of our churches and dancing around waving flags and doing spiritual warfare in our churches, although God bless you for doing that, is not nearly as effective as going to a school board meeting. And those pastors will get in there and they'll wave those flags and they'll talk against the devil, and then they won't do a damn thing outside the church. See you tomorrow.